Lovely to be with you today. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Simon. I do recognise a friendly face here today. So a very, very warm welcome for myself. And for those of you who don't know, my daughter's with me today. She's only nine. Just a little story about what happened over the weekend. You realise how Satan works when you have a message that may expose his lies. On Friday, I made my daughter some salmon and rice. It was actually smoked salmon and rice with spinach. And it was very soft, and she had a spoonful. And then all of a sudden, she started gagging and coughing. And she said, "I've got something stuck in my throat." And for the first time, Scout would never say she wants to go to the hospital. But she said, "I need to go to the hospital." So I took her. So Friday evening, we were there. And they were trying to look down her throat, and you'd think you were trying to murder her. She was screaming. She's not very good with things like that. So they told us to go home, and we went there the next day. The consultant came down, and he looked. He couldn't see anything. He said, "It's very rare that someone get a bit of fish stuck in their throat." Anyway, the consultant come down. He was a lovely guy. He managed to see it. He said, "I see a fishbone!" And then he was getting everyone come, and they were all looking, and we all saw the fishbone, and we were saying hallelujah. Not because there was a fishbone in there, but because the fact that we knew that she needed to be put under and have surgery. So that's where I've been all weekend, and that's why I have Scout here today, because she was supposed to go to Chessington. So bless her. It's lovely to have her with us. But you think that there was actually something else happened as well. Her nanny had a heart attack in Elmstead Market and came to the same hospital. So her mum then just went downstairs to take over from her daughter to her mum. So it was an absolute nightmare weekend. But we realise how precious life is, don't we? Why is that? Because we're made in the image of God. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today. And it's something that Chris said. It's not because of what we do. I wrote that down, by the way. But it's whose we are. It's interesting, we always say who we are. It's actually whose we are. I thought that was very profound. So I've titled this sermon, "Whose Image on You?" I did have a PowerPoint slide to work with today, but again, technology got the better of me too, Chris. So I hope we'll go through this systematically, and I hope it will bless you today. Now I want you just in your mind to make a picture of yourself. Think of perhaps how you would describe your personality. I don't want you to answer it, just think about it. How you would describe your character. How you would describe your talents that you have. Or your ability at work. Or your creativeness. Or even how you would describe your physical appearance. But see, by your faces, people are like, "Oh, actually." Do you think of them as good or bad? Do you like the way you describe yourself, or do you hate? Is there anything that you change, or are you happy with that description or that picture of yourself? I hope you have a thought in your mind, because after that, once we make a picture of ourselves and these different attributes, we make a valuation of that description. And sometimes we compare it to a standard outside ourselves, don't we? And that creates a low self-esteem or a high self-esteem, depending on what you think of yourself. And that's what I want to talk about today, self-esteem or self-image. Yeah, you with me? Yes. I'm not getting too confusing. Now, sometimes we do judge ourselves by outside standards. For instance, you only have to, this is why I don't look too much at the TV or I don't look at magazines too much. Because for young girls today, they see beautiful pictures of models, lovely figures, makeup and wonderful clothes. And they look to that picture of the magazine and say, "I don't match up to that." And it's the same with boys, isn't it? They see the wonderful football players or these gymnasts or whatever they are, how amazing these people are, and they never match up. So they create this picture of themselves which don't come up to the standard that the world gives. Did you know 75% of 12 to 17-year-olds, if asked, would you have cosmetic surgery, they said they would, and that they would be happier with their appearance if they had surgery. It's such a shame, isn't it? 84% of boys said their life would improve if they had better bodies. I don't know about you men in here. Would your life improve if you had a six-pack? I don't know. I'm not sure it would. But we're told the same, aren't we, about careers, about cars. You have to have the latest car. Hobbies, you have to be the best golfer in town. Your talents and the money you have. The more money you have, the higher you are. And this is what I want to talk about today. And I had a picture of it. I call it the ladder of success or the ladder of self-image, whatever you want to call it. Firstly, we have those who have such a low self-esteem or low self-image are at the bottom of the rung and they can't move up because they never think they can be any better than what they are. But you have the other end of the scale, those who are right near the top, and they said, if I could just get a little bit higher, that will improve my self-image and I'll be liked and I'll be accepted. But I think the issue is not the ladder, it's about being on the ladder in the first place. Because God wants us to come off the ladder. That's profound, isn't it? Do you know the lies that we have inherited can stem back from childhood about our own image? Let me give you a couple of examples. Imagine a girl coming to the world and a father and their mother so desperately, or father in particular, so desperately wanted a boy. And yet that desire still came into that girl when she was born up until her childhood. And all of a sudden the girl starts to wear jeans, starts to wear a baseball cap, wants to play football with her dad. And that's where we get that phrase tomboy from. Because she's trying to match up. She's trying to creep up that ladder to impress her dad. If I can be as much like a boy as I can, he will accept me. And that's a shame, isn't it? Well, that's so important, isn't it? When two couples come together and they want a baby, you know, they so desperately want a boy. When a girl's born, they're so disappointed. And that can put rejection on that girl, which is horrendous. But think about this also, even when you get married, and sometimes, not that I was married before I became a Christian, but that was what was heaped on me as well, is somebody, a wife who constantly, or a husband, other way around, constantly puts you down. Constantly tells you you're good for nothing. You could be better. And all of a sudden, the partner is trying to climb up that ladder to impress their wife or their husband constantly. And it's an uphill battle, isn't it? Because that person is setting a standard in which that person has to reach. And believe you, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. And this negative self-image can stay with us all of our life until it's exposed. And that's what I'm going to try and do today. Try and get you off the ladder of success. I hope I can do that today. I hope I can get myself off the ladder of success. Because we all inherently want to be liked and want to be loved. So with this world's picture, the pressures of the world to come up to certain standard, there's two things that happen. We can fall into escapism. Bury our head in the sand. And that can get us involved in alcohol, in drugs, in work, in hobbies, or whatever it is. But do you know, even this day, because God has come out of the country, out of this world, that suicide is a viable option for some people because they can't get higher up on that ladder. Now, that's the world's view. It doesn't paint a very good picture, does it? Because it says, I love this, this might make you laugh. First there was nothing, and then it exploded. That's the view of the world, the secular view of the world. First there was nothing, then it exploded. And with this cosmic accident, I always say this, from goo to you by way of the zoo. And we all come from monkeys, so we might as well act like animals. And there's no such thing as morals because there's no moral law giver. So we might as well do what we like. And whatever you choose is good for you. Whatever I choose is good for me. Anything goes. And we're a complete accident. There's no purpose to life. Nothing created is. We come from nothing and we're going to nothing. So really, suicide does become an option for us. Because if things are not going well in our life, we might as well end it. And then we'll be at peace. What a horrendous view that is. And that's not God's view, is it? God's view is this. In the beginning, God. And that's the most, it's the most wonderful verse, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he created the sea and the land. and then the sun and the moon and the stars so that we could calculate time and have seasons. And then he created the plants that bear seeds for food, then the animals, and then the fish, or the other around, should I say. But the pinnacle of creation, who or what did he create?
Man.
Man. And he said this, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. It's lovely, isn't it? We forget that bit. Let us make man in the image of God and in our likeness. Now, the difference between the image of God, the difference between we have between angels, no angel is made in the image of God. No animal is made in the image of God. And it says this. This is how we can determine our value, because it says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. You know, if you kill an animal, it's not two eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth in the Old Testament. It was if you killed someone who was made in God's image. Now, I've got this lovely image. You can imagine if you go home, you get your photo album out, you go and find a picture of yourself or a picture of your daughter or your son. Now, if someone grabbed that photo off you and went like this, threw it on the floor, would you get angry? Especially if it ripped the photo in half. You would get pretty angry. Why? Because it has value. That person in that photo means so much to you. I know it's a bad analogy, but just it's a helpful image to create, because we're really photos of God. And God loves us and values us that much. So when Satan comes in and tries to mar the image of God, it hurt God's heart. And that's why we see, because we have value. We have these people say that they don't call the baby in the womb a baby. If you're pregnant, it's a baby, but yet if you don't want it, it's called a fetus. And I think that's such a shame. And we see that, you know, if somebody's got a disability, somebody's not living up to our standards in life, an option for them is we can then euthanasia, we can kill them. And it's so sad what's going on in this world. And it's getting worse and worse. Do you agree? It is. Now, I just want to talk about the first attribute that we have, which would say that we are made in the image of God. The first, that we have free will. Says that man, we were placed in the garden to tend it and look after the animals. And I think John mentioned that we're not doing a very good job of all this. But he said to Adam, he said, look, you can eat of every tree, but not that one. And that choice that he made, that free will that Adam and Eve made, sent the world into chaos, and death and sin had entered the world. And we too have the ability to make choices. There's a wonderful verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength. Forget what it is now. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. Now, what's helpful to paint a picture is our soul or our will. And I may have got this wrong, but it's very helpful. The soul or the will is what we choose our mind to focus on. Yeah, we all have choices. And in a sense, that sends a signal to the mind. And then that will create a track that will go down to our heart. And if we think and choose the wrong thing or the right thing enough, it will build a desire or an attachment in our heart, which is our subconscious mind. That desire then is formed, and it can send a signal to your will to make them choices again. And even it can bypass your will. I know this might sound a bit complicated. To then start to think on them things all the time. So where does it all start? In the choices that you make. Do you know, when we're in Christ, we have a choice to make the right decision or not. I'm not saying when you're not a child of God, you may not have that choice. But you have a choice. Now, how important it is when Paul says, it's important that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because it starts with your choice. And it says this in James 1, each person is tempted when he's dragged away by their own desire, that's that desire that's formed in the heart, and enticed, and after that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's why it has to be at the first point of choice. And then Paul says this, think on what? Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. Think on those things. So that might be helpful for you. It's helpful for me. Sometimes we make the wrong choices or the wrong thoughts, and then we can dwell on them, and they begin to build a desire up deep down in our heart, and we act upon them. So you have a choice today to make the right or wrong decision, that you can take every thought captive. Now, that's number one. We have free will. Number two, we are creative. Who thinks they're creative in here? Probably no one will put their hand up. Wow, that's good. Do you know, we say this, or secular society tells us this, that the right brain, some of you are right-brained, or some of you are left-brained. I don't know what that means. In other words, you could be an artist or a mathematician or a painter or a scientist. But I just want to expose that as false, really, because I think deep down God has implanted in our DNA that each and every one of us are creative by nature. Are there any accountants in this room? There's one. Do you know an accountant is creative? When they put a report together, they compile it. They all probably do it very differently. Would they do it differently? Can be very creative in that. Or do you imagine if you're a guy who does gardening in here? Right. Can I borrow you when I move? Because I'm useless at gardening. But you get to work, don't you, with God's creation, and you can create. But there's lots of other things. Building, you know, being a bricklayer, a carpenter. You get to be creative. John Piper said this: if you are God, which we're not, your work is to create out of nothing. If you're not God, but like God, that is, if you're human, your work is to take what God has made and shape it and use it to make him look great. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? So whatever you do, whether you're an accountant or you're a mathematician or whether you're an artist or a musician, God has given you that creative ability and you can use it for his glory. Now, I will say people are using their creative artistic ability for the enemy. But it's sad, isn't it? Because God has given us that ability. But also, one of the other things is that, you know, God has given that wonderful gift to be able to procreate. That we can work. He's the one that makes it, but we make an eternal being that is made in the image of God when we come together, one man and one woman, which is just absolutely beautiful, isn't it? Number three, we are made to fellowship. Now, you wonder why animals are so lovely to humans. Even lions won't attack unless they're hurt. But you see that with dogs, don't you? Where the way they're waggling their tail as you're coming in and they jump all over you. It's just something inherent in pets to love humans. And that stems back from the Garden of Eden, because the animals were made. And Adam was told to look after the animals and to name them. So it's wonderful. We have fellowship with animals, funnily enough. Well, not some animals, because some animals are quite dangerous. But in this, it says, let us make man in our image. That, it says us. It's the very first time the Trinity is hinted at, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's in his nature to have fellowship with each other. But it's also, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And then he gave a man a helpmate, which is a woman. But also that we are created to have fellowship with one another. So even if you're not married, we need each other, don't we? We need to have fellowship with one another. And that's what God has created us to be. But I think some people would say that there is a deeper meaning behind the image of God. And that is this. It's not our attributes, like I was talking about, but it's our status. As you pretty much you said, it's whose image we are made in. In other words, God is saying that you are made in the image of God. You are image bearers of God here on earth. And that means you are to fill the earth with his glory and to give him praise, to reflect him in all that you do. I think that's probably a more accurate one. You think of that photo. We're a reflection of God here on earth. So how important that is for us to the way we act, the way we speak, what we do, and how we love. So important, isn't it? Now, I want to talk just quickly about Satan's plan to mar the image of God. In Ezekiel 28, it says that he was the anointed cherub adorned with precious jewels. So he had precious jewels covered all over him. He says he was the model of perfection, full in wisdom and beauty. And the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you the day you were created. So Satan, or Lucifer as he was known, was a walking worship instrument for God. He was beautiful. And he was so, so influential as the number one worship leader that he took one third of the angels with him when he rebelled against God. And you can imagine now, he's been cast down from heaven onto the earth or into the atmosphere. And you can imagine him as God starts to make man from the dust of the ground and goes to breathe life into his nostrils. Satan's like, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm replacing you." I love that. Because that's why we were made, to worship God. So that might be helpful for you. But you can understand now, Satan's plan is to mar the image of God. He hates anything that reminds him of God, and that's you and me. Even you know, by Adam and Eve, he came and he tempted them to eat the fruit, and then death and sin entered the world. He corrupted them. But even the Jews, we know there's such anti-Semitism in our world. And why is that? Why has Satan attacked the Jews? One, they're God's people. But two, they are the ones that were instituted to create the tabernacle, which was a blueprint of heaven. So Satan hates anything that reminds him of heaven, anything that reminds him of God. So his plan then is to mar the image of God in you. And that's why he wants you to believe that you're worthless, that you have no value. And he wants you to get on that ladder and to try and work your way up. Or he wants you to stay down on that first rung. And that's why when people fall into addictions, because they've got nowhere to turn, there's no point in living, so they reach for the alcohol. Or they reach for other things. They reach for drugs. And then when you see, this is so sad, when you see someone homeless, I mean, I see it every day. I see people who are made in the image of God, literally on their deathbed, drugs, abused, but yet they're there, and this is Satan saying, "Look at your image now." And that's so sad, isn't it? So how important it is for us to love and cherish and make these people realize that they have value to God and that they're made in God's image. So that's what Satan will try and do. He'll try and get you on the ladder of lies. Anything to steer you away from God, who God says that you are. So firstly, we have value and purpose because we are made in the image of God. Secondly, we have meaning to give him glory and to reflect his image. Thirdly, we have freedom. That means in our choices that we make, in our creativity, and the community that we have with one another. But lastly, that we are to bear God's image in this world. I love this encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Do you remember the scribes and the Pharisees? They wanted to trap Jesus, and they come up to him and says, "Are we to pay taxes to Caesar?" Do you remember that? And he said, "Show me a coin used for tax." So they brought him a coin, and he said, "Whose image and whose inscription is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he says, "Give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to God's." And that's what he said. And I can imagine if they would have said, "Well, what belongs to God then?" He would have said this: "Whose image is on you? Whose image is on you?" We go back to exactly what you said, Chris. So I want to say this, that you're made in the image of God, and how important it is for you as individuals to be like Christ in all that you do. Every day we're being conformed to the image of the Son, the invisible image of God. And how important it is for us to reach out with the love of Christ. I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to pray. And I pray that if there's anybody in here who don't realize their value, don't realize their worth, that you would realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay the price for your sin, because you are made in the image of God and that you have value to him. But if you're on the ladder as well, I pray that you get off it, because God has already put that status on you that you're made in his image, and you don't need to climb up or down because you are who he says you are. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us are made in the image of God. We're also made in your likeness, Lord. And we have value, Lord, because you've put that status on us. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. And Father, I just pray that if there's anybody in here, sometimes we can try and take control of situations because we get our identity from that. And we try to move up the ladder. Sometimes, Lord, we constantly asking for approval of others, trying to move our way up that ladder. But Lord, you've already approved us. You've already declared your love for us by dying on the cross for us, Lord. You've already determined our value by the most valuable thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that you would minister to each and every one of us by your Spirit, that you would set us free. Set us free from ourselves. And Lord, just help us get our eyes on the one who give us that status as being made in the image and likeness of God. Amen.